As we continue in our series in Mark, I invite you to turn with me to the sixth chapter. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 30. This is God's inerrant and inspired word. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest for a while," for many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things, and when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. Let us pray. Speak, for your servants are listening. Renew our minds. Help us to grasp, O Lord, the heights of your plans for us, truths unchanged from the dawn of time. Speak by your Spirit, we pray, through your word, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Undoubtedly, this is one of those miracles that is the best, perhaps the very best known to most anyone. Learned it in Sunday school, the feeding of the 5,000. It's recorded for us in all 4 Gospels. It's the greatest miracle in terms of the sheer numbers that witnessed his great power. But sometimes when something is so familiar to us, it would be simply easy for us to pass it by, to just take a glance at it and to think no more about it. But my prayer this morning as we look at this great miracle is that we would see displayed for us the merciful Savior, whose power is most manifestly displayed in weakness. We see here, first of all, that the disciples are coming to Jesus. They come to him after having been out fulfilling what he has called them to do. You look back a little bit in verse 12 and you see that he had sent them out and they were about the business of the Lord. They were ministering. It says that they went out in verse 12. They proclaimed that people should repent. They cast out many demons. They anointed with oil many who were sick, and they healed them. And then they come here reporting to Jesus. Perhaps their ministry has been halted for a moment by the death of John the Baptist. We do not know. But what we do know is that they had been very busy about the work of the Lord. So busy that the text tells us they didn't even have time to stop to eat. Not a little snack, no time to gain refreshment. They were with people day in and day out. And the time had come for them to need a rest. No doubt while they were filled with great excitement about what they had seen, the way in which they had seen the power of God displayed among them, they came to report it and they were tired. And Jesus, we're told here, offers them a place to go. It says here that he tells them that they should come away and by yourselves to a desolate place and rest for a while. He assessed their need. He saw their physical need for rest. They had been engaged with the people. They were weary and they were weak. They were worn and they were needing of some physical rest for their bodies. Well, what a reminder to us that Jesus understands us. Hebrews says he sympathizes with us in our weakness. He knows our frame, and well he knew the frame of his apostles. Come away, he tells them. Let's go to a desolate place and rest for a while. In verse 32, we see that they went into a boat to a desolate place by themselves. But Jesus is not only assessing their physical need here, he's also assessing their spiritual need. Much he knew the need himself. The eternal Son of God, he knew the need of getting away and spending time with the Lord. We read, perhaps you've put it out of your mind, but back in chapter 1 and verse 35, we read of Jesus having to take some time away. It says there in verse 35, chapter 1, and rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed, and he went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. The Son of God, knowing our need to be in prayer with our Father. And so he was assessing not only their physical need, but their spiritual need. He knew that they needed refreshment, and he accurately assessed it. And so they begin to go by boat. They make their way to Bethsaida, where the Jordan River empties into the Sea of Galilee. It was a place of great solitude. The distance by boat was about 4 miles, 4 miles straight by boat. But in order to walk, it would take between 8 and 10 miles. As they were making their way, we're told that the crowd saw the boat. They not only saw the boat, but they identified who was on the boat. They saw that it was Jesus, and they were unhappy about him going away. And so they began to make their way by foot. We're not told here whether there were other boats, or whether other boats were accessible to them, but we see that they began to make their way to Jesus. And there were those coming from villages and from the local regions, all joining together to gather there to meet with Jesus. Mark says they arrived before Jesus did, following on foot. And what does Jesus do? Well, first of all, let's look at what he doesn't do. Jesus doesn't say, go away, I'm here for a rest. He doesn't tell them to go home. He doesn't complain to them that he was needing and his disciples were needing a rest. No, in fact, there's no rest to be found, but he doesn't complain about it. But we're told here Rather, that Jesus is moved with compassion. Literally, to be moved in one's stomach. Jesus felt this in the pit of his stomach. When he looked out on the crowds and when he beheld them, he beheld their defenseless, helpless, and he saw that they were shepherdless sheep. One commentator says they had only the blind guides of Israel who were occupied with legalistic niceties about the Sabbath restrictions, about fasts, about phylacteries, about tassels. So concerned were they about these things that they had too much time to be concerned about souls. These were sheep. They needed to be guided. They needed to be taught. They needed to be protected. They needed the rod and they needed the staff. And so Jesus doesn't send them away. He doesn't selfishly take time out. He begins to feed them. He begins to give them true spiritual food. Luke's gospel says he tells them about the kingdom of God, the marvelous kingdom of God. He beholds their need, and he seeks to meet that need. The implication here is that he taught them for a long time. I suspect it wasn't merely 20 minutes or a half an hour or an hour, but there was a long period of time, so long that the disciples were starting to get a little bit fearful. Dark was going to set in. They were in a remote region. What were they to do about food? What about all these crowds? Jesus not only was one who assessed their need and saw what they needed, but he was one who showed great compassion. And then we're told here that he manifests his great power. What was the apostles' solution? Send them away. They no doubt thought they were being compassionate in their offering of such a solution. Send them away, verse 36 says, to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and to buy themselves something to eat. Send them away so they can eat. But their compassion was short-sighted. They were seeking to evaluate and to address the circumstances and the situation, but they were too quick to want to send them away. Just like those apostles, often wanting to send them away, wanting to send the children away who they thought were bothering Jesus. But Jesus' solution to the problem was far different. He said this, "You give them something to eat." Literally here, "You give them to eat." The hour was getting late and Jesus' command was emphatic. "You give them something to eat." Just imagine what they must have been thinking. The day was late. They were all tired. The great master was tired as well. You wonder whether they were thinking, "Oh, he's just not thinking straight in this hour of the day. How in the world could he send us out there to give them something? We have nothing to give. Why not just send them away?" Their question includes that kind of a thought. Should we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat? 8 months' wages. Mark tells us that there were 5,000 men here, but that doesn't include the number of women and children. Perhaps there were crowds of 15, 20, 25,000. We do not know, but great were the crowds. And the apostles, looking at this and looking to Jesus, said, "What are we supposed to do? We're in a desolate place. It would take 8 months' worth of wages to go and to buy enough to feed this crowd sufficiently. And Jesus said, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. John's account records for us that it was a little boy who possessed a lunch of 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And if they come back with the meager lunch of a small boy, they could not imagine. But notice his command. He commands them to go and to sit down in groups on the grass. Groups of 50 and 100, calling to mind Moses' camp in the wilderness. God's great provision for the people he had redeemed. No doubt he was ordering them also so that it would display his great power over the numbers, easily counting them as they counted them in 50s and hundreds. And then we're told that he looked up to heaven, he blessed these barley cakes, he broke them into pieces, and he gave them to his disciples. They were on their way to Passover. This, no doubt, was a way in which Christ was showing how he was going to give himself for our great redemption. And wonder of all wonders, these 5 loaves and these 2 fish, small and insignificant as they were sufficient to satisfy the great crowds. This was no mere illusion. This was not simply people getting their own lunches together. This was Christ performing a mighty miracle, so great that 12 baskets full were collected afterwards, and all were completely satisfied. No doubt the 12, pointing back to the 12 apostles, or to the 12 tribes, and pointing forward to the work that God would do through the 12 apostles, his great work of redemption. But how important it is for us to learn from this, to notice here how our Lord performs his miracle. He takes the ordinary. He takes the insignificant. And he does something extraordinary. He uses a boy's lunch, and all glory redounds to his name. What a reminder. What a reminder this miracle is to us of what Christ has accomplished for us. He is the bread who has come down from heaven. He is the manna in the wilderness. He is the one who takes us, weak and sinful though we be, blind, and he transforms us by the power of his grace, so that we are new creatures in Christ. Isn't that what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17? If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, all has become new. What God does by his great power is he takes ordinary people, fraught with sin and with weakness, and he transforms them by the power of his grace. He takes something that appears to be nothing, and he displays his great power, showing his great power and his great compassion. Oh, friends, if you are in Christ today, it is because of what God by his Spirit has done in you. And every day you live, you should marvel at his grace. You should be astounded by his power, thankful for his great compassion, that he looks on us, He sees our need. He supplies sufficiently through his sacrifice all that we need. And he gives to us new life. Oh, what a great reminder also that he works through us to display his glory and power. His power is perfected in weakness. Isn't that what Paul said again? He said this in 2 Corinthians 12, but my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We forget that. We like to be strong, don't we? Just this week, I was speaking to a minister friend who's found out not only that he had a brain tumor, but also that he has cancer in the marrow of his bones. And he said to me, you know, this has been one of the most humbling experiences of my life. I've had to depend on others. I've had to be strengthened by others. I've had to have others take me places and take over for some of my studies. What a reminder to us that God meets us in our weakness with his kind compassion, and that we are weak, but we need his great power, and his power is perfected. Paul says he's content with his weaknesses, his insults, the hardships, the persecutions, and the calamities. For when he is weak, then he is strong. But not only that, dear friends, he has entrusted the great and glorious truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ into the hands of such weak vessels. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. Why? Why in broken jars of clay would he entrust the glorious message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but to show the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us? What did Jesus do with those five loaves and those two fishes in the midst of a crowd of 20,000? He displayed his great power and showed that his power was at work in the midst of their great weakness. He not only instructed them of the kingdom, but he showed them who the king was and declared the wonders of the grace that is sufficient in Christ. Oh, dear friends, do you know such a Savior? Have you looked to him by faith? He is compassionate. He is tender-hearted. He sees our weakness. He transforms us by his power. And he uses us by his grace. Let us pray. O gracious God, remind us that you are the God of our redemption. Help no glory to ever come to us, but help your glory and your strength be perfected in our weakness. We thank you for your sufficient grace which transforms and uses us. Bless us, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.